All right, girls, let's begin to pull ourselves together and prepare for our fourth lesson. Seems like time just flies, and here we are now. We have no excuse not to be wise and not to be... Fifth lesson, sorry. I did prepare the fifth lesson. so anyway, we really... today I want to tell you, we have a surprise. Well, it won't be a surprise after I tell you, but Judy Pometree's class has... is going to come in about 5 or 10 after and sing a song on Proverbs. It must be a verse. She didn't really say, but anyway, she was really pleased that they had wanted to do it, and so they're going to come in and do that real quick this morning. And everything, I think, seems like I preface everything with quick and fast, and but you know, that's just the only way that we can get through in an hour. So anyway, we look forward to that, and Camille is going to be our teacher this morning. And Judy Bell is next week, correct? Okay. All right. Well, let's open with... Here are her questions right up here. So we'll be ready for that next week. All right. Let's open with prayer. Father in heaven, again we ask you to quiet us and to bring our minds and our hearts to the foot of the cross. And Father, we... thank you so much that you love us and that you care what we do and what we know, and that if we are wise, and you have given us the clear instructions in Scripture. So, Father, I just pray that you would continue to make us better women, and that we would make good choices, and that we would become wise, and that we would follow you, Father. Lord, I pray... for the ones that are not here today, and I pray that your hand would be over them and they would continue with their lessons and be with us next week. Thank you for the teachers. Thank you for the small group leaders, and thank you for the good fellowship that we have enjoyed. I pray, Lord, now for Camille as she comes and leads us, and may her words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Linda, do I need to press anything? Okay. Okay. This is a subject that we all are familiar with. And as she said in a lesson, there are over 500 verses that talk about work. And so I'm going to go from big to small this morning. I grabbed something from Desiring God, John Piper's website, Four Reasons for Work. So I feel like what we've talked, you know, what we've looked at fits in very well with this. To glorify God and increase our joy is the first reason we work. The second reason is to provide for our needs. The third reason is to provide for the needs of others. And the fourth is to build bridges for the gospel. And I think we can all think of things, even in this lesson, that fit into all of those verses that we've looked at. But one of the things I wanted to do this morning is look at some of the more subtle aspects of work, some of the temptations that we might, especially as Christian Americans. I think we have, I know I have, so y'all are going to learn more about me probably this morning than you really wanted to. But we all have a tendency to, you know, put that Puritan work ethic way up here. And we should. That's very biblical. God calls us to work hard. But I think there are very subtle temptations in our work that that tempt us to either pride or self-sufficiency or some other things that we'll talk about. But the first verse that I wanted to read this morning, if I can find it in all of my bookmarks here, is Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then I'm also going to read Colossians 3:23, which many of us have memorized, but it's always good to hear again. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I think oftentimes I get caught up in doing a good job. We want to do a good job. We want to make sure that we have done a full job. We've done all that's required of us. And that does glorify the Lord. There's no question in that. But I think one of the subtle things that comes into my heart is, am I really working for the Lord? Or am I really working to satisfy my own desire to check off the list, to do a good job, to be recognized by others? And y'all may not be able to identify with that, and that's wonderful. But, you know, so often I am working not for the Lord but for the praise of man, or the recognition of man. And so I just thought I would look, we could look at what we're called to in our work. And I've written some of them up here. We're called to rest. And so often I don't want to rest. I think as Americans, we have a poor idea of what rest really is. You know, oftentimes at my house, I feel like rest is just not doing what I've been doing, which is partially true. God calls us, when he set aside the Sabbath, to not do the things that we normally do. But am I resting my soul in him? Am I searching for rest in him, or am I just not working? I think that's a distinction that sometimes is lost on me. And we know that rest is ordained by God. It's a blessing. It's a gift. It's restorative. You know, they've done studies on people who do very intense exercise, and they have found that they are better able to exercise if they will take a day off. Now, that just, you know, so many of these studies prove what God has already told us in his word. But that's one example of how if we will take a break, our bodies recover. You know, Sunday is a day of rest. It's also a day of being fed. You know, if we're with other believers, it is a day of being fed, and our souls need that too. And so I think sometimes we do get rest and idleness mixed up. And it's easy to do. It's easy to let rest slide into idleness. Maybe it's not for y'all. Maybe it's just for me. But I like rest. I like not, you know, I like doing something different. I like not having to think about the things that I have to do. And so it very easily slides into idleness. But there's a very distinct difference. Idleness is avoiding work. Idleness is laziness. There's work to be done, but I'm not going to do it. And it's destructive. It's not uplifting. It doesn't build up. It's destructive to ourselves and to others. And there are several verses that we looked at in our lesson that talk about that. One of the other things that we need to look at is we're called to faithfulness. We're not called to success. And I think that that is something that especially we want measurable results. We want to be able to say, well, we had one more this week than we did last week. Or we had, I read my Bible for 2 hours this morning instead of one. That's not what we're called to. I've read recently a book by Rachel Janovic called Loving the Little Years. And she uses this fabulous, fabulous metaphor about apple trees. Now, fruit trees are not called to do anything with their fruit. They're just called to produce it, and produce it with all of their might, to make as many apples as they can. Are all of those apples going to be eaten? No. Some of them are going to fall to the ground and fertilize the ground, but that's not, the apple tree is not called to worry about what's going to happen to the fruit. The apple tree is called to be faithful to produce as much fruit as it can. And so that's part of what we're called to do. We don't always see the fruit. In Colossians 3:23, again, kind of something. We're working for the Lord. We're not working for man. And that is so hard, at least for me, to remember that, you know, just because, for example, I'm being faithful and trying to be faithful and disciplining, that doesn't mean that I'm going to see the fruit of that immediately. I probably won't. And that's hard. It's hard not to see that immediate reward. But God calls us to faithfulness, not success. And if we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was faithful. Y'all, in earthly times, Jesus' mission at the time was an absolute failure. He had nobody around him when he died. You know, when he was arrested in the garden, all the disciples left him. He had nobody around him. He died. In earthly terms, his mission was a failure. But he was faithful to his call, to what the Lord wanted him to do. And so we know, of course, now looking back, and we know in our hearts, his mission was not at all a failure. It was a tremendous success, and thank God for that. But it didn't look like that at the time. It didn't look like that at all. He was hung on a cross, which is cursed by by everybody who was there. And so that, you know, that's hard. But that ought to encourage us in our work, is that we're not working for the Lord. I mean, we're not working for men, but we are working for the Lord. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, and this is something that that is a temptation for me, I'll realize I've been idle, and then I have to get frantic. I've got to do everything on the list by tonight, and y'all may not make lists, and that's wonderful. I wish I was more like that. But, you know, so often I am controlled by the list and how many things I can check off and how many things I can cross out. And that's my personality. And I know we're all different. But I think we all do have markers of what success is. But we're called to be diligent. And diligence says the Lord will accomplish this. I need to work. I'm called to good works. But the Lord will accomplish this. Franticness says, I've got to do this! And it depends on us. I think it's a very subtle difference. We're called to work heartily, but we're not called to be frantic. We're called to have what Elizabeth Elliot called a quiet heart, that trusts that the Lord is in control, that He is good, and that what He has called us to today will be taken care of. When we are diligent, we are resting in God's sovereignty for our day. It doesn't mean that if we're type A like me, we don't make a list. It's fine to make a list. There's nothing wrong with that. But we trust that God has planned, as He says in His Word, good works in advance for us to do. Now, what that's not is me making my list and saying, Lord, these are the good works I'm going to do today, and I'm going to be really frustrated if they don't get done. If I don't get through my list, if I don't have these things done, then I have not done good works today. Days where we don't have anything off of our list, where nothing went the way we had planned it that day. Well, those are some of the days that the Lord can use the most fruitfully in our lives and in the lives of others. And sometimes the good works that we do, they're an interruption. That's really hard for me to remember. Sometimes we're interrupted, and that's what we're called to that day. That's the ministry that we're called to. Whether it's the phone call that you didn't expect that took 2.5 hours, but was really needed. And I know y'all don't ever get those phone calls. Or whether it's, I can think of 50 million things. I planned to do this, but this happened instead. If we really understand the sovereignty of God, then we can trust and rest in that what is on our list and what is in His hands don't always coincide, but what is in His hand for us is the best for us. I think about Luke 8, where Jesus Jesus has a mission, but he is interrupted over and over and over and over. And in that particular one, he's interrupted by Jairus, who his daughter's dying, and he runs to Jesus. There's a crowd all around Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, please come." And Jesus doesn't go, "Well, I'm sorry. I've got this list of things to do today, and you're just going to have to wait. Yeah, I'll be there in a little bit." He says, "Of course, I'll come." But even then, he's interrupted again by the woman with the discharge of blood. And, y'all, he creates the interruption. She just touches him. And everybody, Peter says, he asks, who touched me? And Peter says, "What are you talking about? All these people touched you." He's going, "Jesus, come on. Everybody's touching you. Let's go." And, but Jesus creates the interruption because he knows that that woman has amazing faith, and he recognizes her and ministers to her, even though she's an interruption, even though she took longer than he needed. And so we need to ask ourselves again, is my work serving the Lord, or is it serving me and my sense of accomplishment? Our example of this, and honestly our salvation in this, if we read Philippians 1:6. Philippians.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now that is beautiful. God is diligently working on us. It is not fast, which we couldn't handle. I think if it was too fast. He is patient, and he knows he's not idle. It doesn't stop. Even when we feel like it stops, God's work in us does not stop. It's diligent. It's faithful. And he's not frantic about it. He knows that God will accomplish the purpose that he has set up through him, through Jesus. And because he is faithful, because Jesus is faithful to his calling, we can be faithful to the work that he has called us to. But the most important work that he talks about in John 6:28, most important work is to believe in Christ, and the other work that he gives us to do throughout the day. And so that's, we're called to rest, to be refreshed from our work. We're called to faithfulness, and we're called to diligence in our work. And so, I'm sorry, I feel like that was a lot. So, thank y'all. We have a special treat now from Judy's class. Let me go let them know that we are ready to hear them sing. Hold on just a minute.
Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Proverbs 11:22.